My name is Mindy. For those of you who don't know me, like everyone else who calls Blue Water home, I am a minister here. But I have been with Blue Water since before it was Blue Water, so I remember the first all-church retreats, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the one where Mia told me she was pregnant with their first, and we stayed up late into the night trying to figure out from God if it was a boy or a girl, and talking about, you know, what this meant for the trajectory of their lives in ministry and things. And so big memories made at retreat. Please sign up. It's great. Other things about me, I have an Ohana group, meets on Wednesday nights right in the back of the church over here. Come and join us on Wednesday evening. I live at K2, which is our community house, and so there's a bunch of us that just live in intentional community, trying to inspire one another to follow Jesus and do the things God is calling us to do. I'm an eighth grade earth science teacher at Hawaii Baptist Academy. And kind of what I'm famous for in this community is I spent 8 years just doing blue water things in Indonesia. And so you guys sent me over there, and I, you know, talked a lot about Jesus and started a judo ministry for kids there. But before we really get going here, before we get rolling, let's just, I know not everybody's a morning person, so just turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, you're a treasure. Yeah. All right. Hopefully we feel a bit inspired, okay? Kind of get our brains working here. So a warm-up question for you all. Think through this past week, in your life this past week. What have been your biggest investments this past week? Okay, so think through like time, energy, money. What would you say are the things you're investing in the most this past week? We're going to have a little poll. Okay, so who would say like probably work? Work is the thing that you invested in the most. Okay, number of people. How about like kids, family? Yeah, family is a lot of us, yes. What about like health? Is anybody really investing in your health? Okay, a few people. Yeah, important. Other relationships, like friendships, ministry relationships, you know, situationships. No? Okay. Okay. Those are kind of the big four that I think of. Does anybody have anything else you're investing in this week? Somebody want to tell me, like, anything outside of those four that you guys are really investing in? Yeah. Investing in social media. Ooh, who is that applicable for? Yeah, being honest, being real. Yes, okay. Anything else? Okay. I think about this a lot. Follow-up question, just kind of in your own head. Of those things you're investing in, how many of them do you think would never pay off in your lifetime? How many of them have no benefit to you whatsoever? And might actually make your life a little bit worse. Okay. So this is one of the things I think about, especially like if I do a cost-benefit analysis of my time in Indonesia. I kind of voluntarily gave up my 30s, and so when everybody else was, you know, having their family and kind of building their careers, you know, I was loving people over there, and I feel like I did a really good job loving people. But the actual benefit to my life is kind of hard to quantify, yeah? So, like, I missed out on a lot of things here. I missed out on 8 years in the Blue Water community. I missed out on Seed Restaurants, which is a huge chapter in our history. I missed out on seeing my friends' kids, like, grow up and have a family of my own, perhaps. I missed out on being a part of my own family's life. My niece and nephew don't really know me. I wasn't real to them. They kind of only know me through stories. And that's a bit rough. The benefit that I get out of it, I am fluent in Bahasa Indonesia, which let me tell you how applicable that is on a day-to-day basis in Hawaii. Not so much. I have a ton of stories. Yeah, I have a ton of stories. I have a ton of experiences, which in Blue Water is kind of our currency. But to my life personally, I don't know if I could really count that as benefits. Yeah. Even ministry-wise, like if I look back on it, I probably will never know the extent of my influence over there. Like, okay, we're getting there. but, you know, I probably won't ever know the full impact I had on the people as they go on and live their lives and have families of their own, like kind of the ripples that I started and the seeds that I planted over there. I might never get to see the impact of them. And yet, right, there's still something in me that says it was worth it, right? It was definitely worth it, which is a very confusing thing to a lot of people. And to be honest, it doesn't always add up for me either. It's confusing. So thankfully, I have Jesus to turn to, who is also a confusing guy and has a lot to say about a life well lived. And so we've been going through, at Blue Water, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous teaching, and Jordan has been leading us through that. So, you know, we started off looking at the crowd, and just these are really run-down people, in trouble, in need. A lot of them need miracles, have experienced miracles. Poor folks, right, on the edge of poverty, in poverty. Not the good kind of people. But Jesus calls them blessed, right? He calls them the most blessed. And then he gives them this purpose. He says, actually, you guys are the ones who are going to go out and change the world. You're the salt of the earth, light of the world. And right when they think, okay, new story, everything is different, the world has changed, he says, actually, this is just a continuation of what God is doing. This is part of the same story that God has been writing all along. And so, you know, it's a completion of that story. He's really getting at people's heart and motivation. He says it's not just about following the rules. It's about really understanding what those rules mean and following kind of the spirit of the rules. And then last week, we talked about how the sacrificial things we do in secret really give us power to be trustworthy people to God and to kind of bring that kingdom on earth. That one hit home for me. I am definitely, I talked in my small group, I am guilty of complain bragging quite a bit. And so that is something I am working on. And this week we're talking about money. Yeah, so Jesus is really just hitting us everywhere it hurts. And so we're going to look in Matthew today. We're going to be in Matthew 6. So if you wanted to pull it up on your phones or in your Bibles, you can read it on the big board. So we're going to read Matthew 6, 19 through 24 together. I'll give you a minute to get there. And this is what that says, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, and you might have a little footnote in your Bible, okay, the original word for healthy there actually implies kind of generosity. Like if your eyes are generous, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, and again, there's that little translation thing. This actually means kind of stingy, ungenerous. If your eyes are stingy, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So we talk a lot at Blue Water about being free from the control of money. Jordan speaks very eloquently on it quite often, right? Because it was a big thing for Jesus as well. You know, maybe he's tired of talking about it, or he thought you were tired of talking of hearing him talk about it, so I get to talk about it. Amen. But anti-materialism is one of our core principles as a church, right? We are very much more about doing the stuff than having the stuff. And so, you know, we do things like give 25% of everything that comes in right off the top goes to our poor fund. So it goes to people and organizations we have relationship with, gives directly to the poor. We just had an all-church yard sale a couple weeks ago where the whole church just donated all the things they have, some really good stuff, and we sold it at ridiculously low prices to bless the community. And so, you know, we talk a lot about this idea there's no security in having a lot, right? The security comes in trusting God. And this is what Jesus is saying, right? It's not a secure investment to store up things here on earth, right? Moths, vermin, a computer glitch that erases your bank account, okay? Not a secure investment, okay? And he could have just left it there, right? He already told people, hey, you guys are poor, good job. Those were the Beatitudes, right? And he already told people, hey, pray for your daily bread, you know, just have enough just for today. That's what we're going after. And he could have left it there, but then he took it a step further and said, no, actually, try to get treasure in heaven, right? Don't just worry about being poor here, okay? Good job if you are, but actually, there's this idea that you can be investing in eternity, right? Investing in a life after this one, which was a revolutionary idea. Most Jews of the day actually didn't believe in an afterlife. Okay? They thought it was this world and then nothing. Okay? So this idea, not only that we have a life after this one, but we can be wealthy in that life. There are things we can do here to set ourselves up for success there. It was really, really revolutionary. And it kind of begs the question then, well, how do we get these treasures in heaven? What do we have to do, right, to be wealthy in the next life? And it's this idea, right, that we are making investments that won't pay off here, right, that don't benefit us at all here on earth, that only benefit us if we have an eternal perspective. Like when we get to heaven, we actually get to see the effect we've had on the earth because of the sacrifices we've made here, because of the way that we've loved people sacrificially here. You know, you just think about getting to heaven and meeting Jesus and having him kind of usher you into the VIP area, right? And introducing you, okay, to all the people who you've had an influence on. And you've changed their lives in ways that you never realized. Yeah. And in Jesus saying, no, this is a VIP. Like I did things with them. Like you don't even understand. We have stories together, right? And living for those purposes. I kind of think of like heaven points, right? Like we can get a little star chart and keep track, okay, for the next life of the things we're doing here, if we have to kind of motivate ourselves. So some easy things to get heaven points. Coming to church. We live in Hawaii, right? Right now, you could be on one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. You could be snorkeling on a coral reef. You could be hiking in a tropical rainforest. You could be sitting on the couch watching TV. But we all come to the back of this valley. We sing some songs. We listen to somebody pontificate about a book that was written over 2,000 years ago. Does that make sense? Is there any tangible benefits to your life? Like maybe for the extroverts, it's really good, right? But honestly, like this is because we think that there is some eternal investment we are making by coming to church, by being part of this community, by doing things together, yeah? I think parenting is probably the most obvious example of investing in something that might not pay off in this lifetime, yeah? Okay? Because let's be real, like kids, like worthwhile, adorable, wonderful, little time, energy, money vampires, right? Like they make it very clear that it is about them and their benefit and not about the parents' benefit, yes? And I think I think any parents would probably say, but still, very worthwhile, right? There's something that says, no, that's worth it. I am not a parent, I am a single woman, and so I get to choose how to be a bit more sacrificial in my loving. I get to maybe be a bit more extreme. I get to be more creative because I don't have the responsibilities of raising kids. And so it's exciting to navigate that with God. I think teaching is a profession that very much lends itself towards heaven's points. Because Lord knows we don't get paid enough to actually make it worth the time and energy and love we pour out on all these kids. you know, I live in K2, which is a community house, and I very intentionally chose to live in the room with the bunk beds. Like, I built bunk beds, and then I live in the room with the bunk beds as a 41-year-old woman on the top bunk because, okay, because I want there to be space for someone else and it not to be a question of is the person in that room willing to share their space? Like, no, okay, there is space. I will do that. Heaven points, right?
All right.
And if I do it right, okay, if I do it right, then I have the ability to kind of be confusing to people in the right way, yeah? Where they look at me and they don't quite understand why I would do life this way, yeah? Because if they don't know about heaven points, it doesn't make sense, yeah? And then Jesus kind of goes into this idea of the eyes, right? That the eye is the lamp of the body, which doesn't quite translate to our culture and our day, but we still have this idea of our outlook, of how we see things, right? Do you see the world in a generous way? Do you see abundance in the world? Or do you see need? Everywhere you look, do you see like there's not enough? Are your eyes stingy, right? And it changes your perspective on things a lot, right? Think of it this way. If you looked around you and you thought that everyone around you was just as willing as you are to give up anything for you, right? Just as willing as you are to give up anything for someone else, would that be comforting? Or would that be like, oh, I gotta make it on my own, right? If we in ourselves have that generosity where we're willing to give to anybody everything, and we see the world in that way, like how secure would that make you, right? How comforting would that be to live in that kind of world? And you say, well, not everybody's like that. Yes, Jesus already said we should be ready to be taken advantage of. Sure. But what's your outlook? Right? Do you see the abundance in the world that God has created? Just like there is so much. America is the wealthiest nation in the world, in history perhaps, right? And yet everyone feels like there's not enough. Yeah. What would it be to switch our mindset, to have our outlook be generous, right? This idea of light and dark, that if the light in you is actually dark, how great is that darkness? Seems very confusing. If the generosity in you is actually stinginess, okay, how great is that? Our ability to call good things bad and bad things good. Pretty much everyone in America has a retirement account. Everyone who is working, you know, is saving towards retirement. In Christianity, we call this financial stewardship. We call this wisdom. Right? This is good things to have a 3-month buffer in your savings account. We call these good things. Jesus right here calls this storing up treasures in heaven, treasures on earth, right? Are we willing to let it bother us, the fact that we aren't doing what Jesus says financially? The fact that we actually need grace for having a savings account, right? For having a retirement account. Because I don't think anybody in here is actually going to give up their retirement account, okay? But we should at least be honest and say like, oh, that's something that I'm needing grace from God to reconcile. I'm living in a tension there. because that's actually missing the mark. And there's plenty of grace, right? God is okay with us missing the mark. But we have to actually call darkness darkness, what's light is light, in order to live in that truth. And that's super challenging, right? The Sermon on the Mount, we've gone through it now for a number of weeks, and it just keeps surprising me how much we have sat with this for 2,000 years in our culture. And you'd think by now we'd get it, we'd understand, we'd do it really well, but it's still so challenging, right? Every time. So this idea, right, is it wisdom to have a savings account? Is it wise to have a retirement account? To have something to leave to your kids? Or is that fear? Is it light or is it dark? Is a rough question. And it should bother us. We should have to sit with that. And then we get grace, right? We get grace for not fully trusting. But so often it's just a battle that goes unfought, right? We just accept, well, this is the way the world is, right? You work a job, you automatically get a retirement account. It's the way the world is. And so we don't ever fight that battle, right? And in the end here, Jesus kind of sets it up as, okay, it's a battle between God and Satan. No, right? That would be too obvious. It's a battle between God and money, yeah? At the end of the day, money is this lure that catches us all, because it makes us think about ourselves. It makes us think about what we need, think if we don't have enough, make sure that you know we're okay, rather than trusting in God. If you think about just how you go through a day, right? Which one could you go through a day without acknowledging, God or money? Could you go a day without thinking about spending or earning or, you know, having enough? Could you go through a day without thinking about what God's doing, what he wants you to be doing, without praying, without checking in with him, without worship? I think most people would say it'd be way easier to go a day without acknowledging God than without acknowledging money, which is pretty rough. Right? And so Jesus sets as this battle between God and money. Yeah. So because we're so steeped in money in this culture, it's so hard to get away from it. How do you know if you're serving money alongside, God, if they're trying to balance those both instead of just serving God? Well, Jesus asks the question, do you resent God for not getting what you want, for not having what other people have, not getting to own a house in Hawaii, for not having enough in your bank account? Does that make you kind of angry and resentful at God? Do you despise money? Do you hate the fact that money is the thing that makes the world go around? Go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, money is the thing that makes the world go round. Okay. Do you actually hate that? Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Do you actually, okay, think about that and hate it, the fact that you have to earn money and it's what kind of motivates everybody. Because Jesus said we should hate that, okay? We should hate that. So kind of pulling it all together, right? Application point for the day. The thing that we're kind of stepping out in the world trying to do. We should be confusing to people with the way we treat money, yeah? We should live life in a way that makes people wonder why. Why on earth would you do that way? It doesn't make sense unless it's from a heavenly perspective, right? So kind of keep track this week of the things that you're investing in, right? What are you actually spending your time, your money, your energy doing? Would they pay off in this lifetime? Maybe pick one thing. What if heaven actually weighed in fully? What if the full weight of eternity was in that decision? Like let it weigh in. What would that do to your decision-making process for those things? And talk about it with your small group. Talk about it with the people at your work, with your family, right? Because it is deeply disturbing and confusing, and we should let it kind of bother us that Jesus actually tells us, no, we need to be radically free from money, okay? And we all miss the mark. And so accept grace for that and talk about it with the other people, yeah?